It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Did you ever hear the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? Well, I believe that's the way it is many times for us who study the Bible. We look at things and sometimes we just overlook what God has for us. It's a matter of digging. It's a matter of getting into the forest and letting God lead us through the Word of God. I believe one of the pivotal scriptures that we find in the Word of God is the book of Romans, and it's such an important book. Now, all the Bible is important. Don't get me wrong. As we look into the book of Romans, we read of the things that God has for each person in this life, not only for the saved person, but for the person who's never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'd like to spend the next few moments speaking to you from the book of Romans. Now, Paul wrote Romans when he was in the city of Corinth, about 55 through 58 AD. And at that time, Paul had not visited the church in Rome. And we see that by reading Romans chapter 1. It tells us that Paul wanted to go to Rome, and he prayed that God would make this visit possible. Now, it's more than likely that Paul's other letters, by the way, I believe Paul wrote over half of the New Testament, but it's more than likely that Paul's other letters were written to churches where he had personally been involved. Now, the church at Rome is where Paul had not been and where Paul had not taught. Many call the book of Romans the greatest doctrinal book in the New Testament. Now, the book of Romans, I would give a simple outline here. A simple outline might be this. Chapters 1 through 8 would be the doctrine of the gospel of God. And chapters 9 through 11, I would say that this is God's sovereign dealings with Israel. And then chapters 12 through 16, we see their exhortations for the justified and sanctified believer. Well, what about Paul? What right did he have of pinning down the Word of God? Well, first of all, it's God's Word, and God has chosen Paul to pin these words down. All of the Word of God is God-breathed, and it is the Word of God. And I remind you again, the King James Version of the Bible is the Word of God. And we study that, and we find that it is the one that we are to depend upon today for the English-speaking people of the world. And I believe that any translation that people do should be from the King James Bible, from what God has given us. And the people have to be very careful as they use translations to understand that the Word of God is not to be tampered with, that it is to remain the way God wanted. And there are so many false gospels out there today, false Bibles, so-called, that we've got to be careful and stay in the Scriptures and let God lead us. Well, what was Paul's credentials? Chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Well, God used each Bible writer as his writers to record exactly what he wanted to be included in his word. Now, there's three things about Paul that we should look at. Paul describes himself in verse 1 as a slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. Once again, he says a servant, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul was a servant. He was tied to the Lord. He loved the Lord. The Lord had first loved him, as John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. This says, we love him because he first loved us. And of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ, who loved us first. And he loved Paul first. Well, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says a servant of Christ. And in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1, again, he says a servant of God. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ and God the Father are one, and the Holy Spirit. And so he's serving God. Well, Paul was sent on a mission, according to the Word of God. He was sent on a mission as an apostle. An apostle was used for foundational purposes of the early church. And we see this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, and Acts chapter 2, and verse 42, and several other scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Notice the words foundation there, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, a foundation is only laid once at the beginning of a building project. Well, the apostles were needed in the beginning of the church age to fulfill their special foundational ministry. Today, this shocks many people, and they don't agree with it, but they need to get into the Word of God. That tells me a person who does not believe what I'm getting ready to say has not been in the Word of God. And today, we do not have apostles, but we have the doctrine or the teaching of the apostles. We do not have the Apostle Paul today, but we do have the doctrine of the Apostle Paul, namely the book of Romans, and his other writings, of course, that are now part of the Scripture. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they, this is the first church at Jerusalem, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, Paul was not separated from, but unto the gospel of God, according to the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians and Acts. Paul's dedication and devotion to the gospel of God is seen in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "And I," this is Paul speaking, "and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10 goes on to say, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto him," or unto them. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" Now, when we think of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, before I read that entire verse, let me say this, that today there is much confusion as to what the gospel really is and how it should be presented. And as we carefully study Paul's defined definition of the gospel, we must never forget where Paul got the gospel from. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, it says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" Or in other words, am I persuading men or is God persuading them? Or do I seek to please men? "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And once again, we have the revelation today. I'm not only speaking of the book of Revelation, I'm talking about the entire Word of God. We have God's revelation. He speaks to us, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, a key phrase in the book of Romans is found in verse 1, the gospel of God. The good news of salvation is more clearly understood in the book of Romans than anywhere else in the Bible. Paul, led by the hand of God, methodically makes evident the gospel of God in this epistle. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, you see, we also need to be on the lookout for false gospels. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says this, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." There's only one gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected on that third day. That is the good news, that Jesus Christ died for this world, for the people of this world. Well, notice there's a promise of the prophets that we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. It says there, which he, and that's God, of the God of verse 1, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Well, the promise of the gospel is not something new. The gospel was revealed even in the Old Testament Scriptures. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And he said that in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee, and that's Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's God making a promise to Abraham. Well, Dr. Henry Morris says this, God's original promise to Abraham, quoted here, and that's from Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, required the coming of Christ into the world to redeem the world for its fulfillment. Since the promise was with reference to all nations, and due to the fact that this was long before Israel became a nation, Abraham surely understood the promise to be of a universal scope. Abraham thus believed this very early form of the gospel, and was justified by faith many years before God gave him the sign of circumcision as a token of the covenant. You see that in Genesis chapter 17, verses 9 through 14. Well, Henry Morris goes on to say the glorious facts about the death and resurrection of Christ are not now being revealed for the first time. In the book of Romans, in which Paul sets forth the gospel of God, Paul constantly quotes from the Old Testament, 61 times. And examples of Paul's usage of the Old Testament in Romans chapter 3 and 4 and the good news concerning Christ is found in the Old Testament, and we compare this with Luke chapter 24. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says that, when we look at that, the first part of that verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And this sums up Romans chapter 1 through 3. All men condemned before a holy God. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, the last part of the verse, it says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This sums up Romans chapters 4 and 5. Christ died to save and justify sinful men. Something else here is that the Holy Scripture writings, notice this, holy, this means set apart. The Bible is the only God-breathed, inspired book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. May we always handle the Bible with care, knowing that it is God's holy word. Let me advise you today to get into the book. As a Christian, you need to be there to learn the things that God has for you. Now, you learn that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you ask him into your heart, and you need to take that word to other individuals, not your words, but God's word, helping other individuals find and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we as Christians, we need to be sharing the word with every breathing individual in this world today. May God help you to be a witness for the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.